ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
There are warnings Sudan's year-long civil war is about to escalate further, with the United States claiming the country is on the verge of a large-scale massacre. The alarming prediction comes as rebel forces are expected to attack a major city in the region of Darfur. That's led to renewed calls for outside actors to stop arming both sides of this conflict. Susan Page is the former US ambassador to South Sudan and joins us this morning. Susan, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
These concerns relate to the city of Al Fashir. It's surrounded by rebel forces known as the Rapid Support Forces. Are there any signs their attack has begun?
Right now, it doesn't seem like it, but it's very difficult to get accurate news. I've been sort of checking the websites and seeing if anything is out there, but I haven't seen anything to date. But again, the UN Security Council held a closed-door meeting yesterday on Sudan, and warnings were given again to both sides. But in particular, everyone is worried about the Rapid Support Forces. There was supposed to be a UN Security Council discussion on Sudan's complaint against the United Arab Emirates for supporting militarily the RSF, and that was postponed. So it's unclear what's happening on the ground right now.
Around 1.8 million people live in Al Fashir. What impact is an attack expected to have on civilians?
Well, it would be just devastating. The RSF has gone on, I don't want to make it one-sided. I mean, it's not as if the Sudan Armed Forces and the Army Chief of Staff, General Burhan, has not done some of the same tours around the region, a kind of charm offensive. But that certainly was the case with General Hemeti, who is in charge of the RSF. Yet the charm offensive did not last for long, at least in terms of their behavior on the ground. And so the people of Al Fashir are hoping that the same thing that happened in Al Janina does not occur in Al Fashir, because what happened there was just disastrous, not only taking over the city, but also really devastating consequences to the population. Massive human rights abuses, targeting of individuals, rape, a lot of pillage, a lot of damage done.
The UN Security Council held a private session on this situation earlier in the week. Has anything concrete come of that?
Well, you know, it's really difficult. I mean, we often talk about the UN Security Council and other international organizations or global organizations, but there's not much that they can do besides calling. I mean, there are things that they can do, such as sanctions. There are already arms embargoes. That's one thing, certainly, that they could do more of. But mostly what happens is they call on the parties to pull back. They call on member states of the United Nations to not support one side or the other, encouraging peace talks, that sort of thing, which is naturally the role that they can play. But unfortunately, the RSF and the Sudan Armed Forces really just are not listening.
And the US has been warning outside states not to arm either side of this conflict. How much do we know about who's providing the arms here?
Well, there was a Sudan, a report from the an independent observation group that was appointed to look at the situation in Sudan, and they believe that arms were being supplied by the United Arab Emirates through Chad to the RSF, and that has been, you know, put forward formally in the report, and that was from the UN panel of experts. The United Arab Emirates has sent a letter to the UN saying that this is completely false, it's not true, but it does seem like there is certainly at least substantial information, credible information, to have the panel of experts indicate that they believe that this is true.
The Rapid Support Forces have now been battling the Sudanese army for over a year. How much of the country do they actually control?
I think estimates are differ, but the support of the RSF has always been in the Darfur region, and El-Fasher is the only state, only one of the five states of Darfur that the RSF does not control. And that's one of the reasons why it would be such a devastating attack, and the ramifications would be so awful if they do attack El-Fasher. And it would also be devastating, of course, for the Sudan Armed Forces, regardless of who is supporting them. But mostly the population is just absolutely suffering. Both sides are controlling food aid. Assistance is not getting through. Visas are very difficult to secure. And even when visas are granted by the Sudan government, they're usually single entry for maybe 2 months. So it's, it's one of the worst humanitarian crises in the world.
Just finally, a broader point, I suppose, I'd like to hear from you. I mean, 1 year in, what needs to happen to bring the conflict to an end?
Well, clearly, one of the things that's not working is somehow pressure is not being borne out enough to get the parties to sit down. One thing I do believe is a very positive sign is that there have been a lot of conversations and talks with civilian-led groups that are really providing the bulk of the assistance to their own people, to their own population. They're not formal organizations or entities, but I'm glad that they are being consulted by various outside groups. But it's difficult to get the parties to sit down, not just those with the weapons, when you have all of these complicated issues with governments that are involved in one way or the other, in either what's happening inside Sudan or in the region, who are also simultaneously trying to play a role in mediating.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Susan.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Susan Page is the former US ambassador to South Sudan, and you're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.